Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. We are live worldwide on CUTV News Radio, a service of the award-winning CUTV News. Right now, it is Tuesday, noon Eastern at the time of this live broadcast, August 29th, 2017. This broadcast is coming to you live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. It's also being recorded and archived simultaneously, so you'll be able to hear it again and again and possibly even share it with family, friends, associates, and colleagues if you feel this particular episode will benefit them and maybe enhance their lives for the better. We archive all of our shows, and you can find them on our websites as well as on iTunes and on Stitcher as well. We're excited to continue our conversation today with part two of our series with Loretta M. Harrington. She's a wonderful person, and we've been talking about the phenomenal book that she has that is tremendous. I don't know if you are familiar with it yet, but you should be. It is called Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, which recounts the story of a remarkable experience and a friendship that was built together. You know, our soul path is the iterations of our soul through the centuries. Basically, where we've been, what we've learned, and what we've come back to do. It's how we navigate our soul's physical journey. And, you know, could you imagine meeting someone that you remember from your soul's past, and they remember you too? What that feeling is like, and the person kept saying, why is this happening? I don't understand. Well, this has happened to our guest, Loretta Harrington, and out of this grew her book, Peace of Soul, Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey. According to Loretta, meeting someone for the very first time and knowing that you've known them before, of course, is a shock to the system. Sometimes you might not even believe it yourself. But the vibe is so strong, the feeling is so strong. Well, when she was in the presence of Zura, she felt a strong connection, and it was very disconcerting in the beginning. She did not, you know, experience something like this before. Her existing belief system was completely rocked. Now, Loretta says most people have had these experiences, and it's more than you would think. And they choose not to pursue the relationship because it seems almost scary and challenging. But for Loretta, she says, it opened up a whole different horizon. She made the decision to continue, and she's stayed in touch since 2009. Now, Zura is originally from Georgia. He told Loretta that he'd felt so alone in this country until he met her. Now, most people would refer to this as some sort of deja vu, but souls evolve. She says we have to let go of our apprehensions and really trust our intuition much, much more. That's what it's about. We come back, hopefully, to do better work. Loretta's book, Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, is available on Amazon.com. And if you have never, again, had an opportunity to read that book, it is truly tremendous. It's something that I think would really benefit everybody, no matter what your perspective. It might even create a different perspective for you as well. Let's welcome our very special guest, author Loretta M. Harrington, back to our show as we continue our conversation here on CUTV News Radio. Loretta, welcome back to the show. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us today. Welcome.
Well, Thank you, Jim. I very much appreciate being reinvited back, and I look forward to our conversation. Thank you.
You are very, very welcome. As a host and interviewer myself, I'm very curious. And so when I interview my guests from all walks of life, I like to find out the person behind the headline, the person behind the book cover, who the person is that we're really chatting with. So for you, when you look back, Loretta, at your own life and your own experiences, and this experience with Zura sounds truly amazing and life-changing for both of you, was that meeting or re-meeting sort of the source of the inspiration for you to write this book? Or did you have things like this throughout your life that were happening to you again and again and again to where you compiled it all and said, oh, I have to share this. I have to get this out. I need to put this down on pen and paper and write this book. What really motivated you to want to create this book as you have?
Jim, two things come to mind, and that is all my life I've had feelings of what we would call deja vu, like I've been there, I've known this person, I could walk into a room and pretty much get the sense that it's where I belonged or where I don't belong, and I felt, well, okay, these things happen in a person's life, surely you've been in that same coffee shop again and again. But the stronger, the longer I lived, the stronger the feelings of deja vu became. So I was aware of that dynamic, and then it came to complete fruition when Zora walked through the door of my father's home, as I explain in the book. When I see him walking up the steps, I recognized him. I didn't know from where, but I did. So I was apprehensive. On the other hand, I've had these deja vu feelings, so I defaulted to a deja vu moment saying, I know I've met this young man somewhere before. That was not the case, not in this life anyway. And so I wanted to capture my thoughts and feelings and let others know that a life-changing event brings in new circumstances and opportunities. And I wanted to share the feelings about my dad's passing and how the good work of a stranger, Zora, renewed my faith in humanity. And I explain that in the first couple of chapters of the book. And then my journey continued, as you said, since 2009. And I wrote the book to help others. Perhaps they're in similar circumstances, and it gave me an opportunity to heal and to validate my own feelings that I experienced most of my life.
Now, in this story and what we're talking about here, there is somebody else named Alice as well, and I mentioned in the introduction this morning that you came across Zura. Tell us a little bit about Alice as well.
Okay. Alice DeVille is an international, she's internationally known. She's an astrologer. She's a transition coach. She is a writer. And I met Alice a number of years ago because I was transitioning, career transition, and she was introduced to me through a business associate. So I became a client of Alice's, and we worked almost entirely on coach transition work. And then we began looking at other things and why things happen in the workplace, in personal experiences, with family. And then in 2010, we changed course, and that was because of Zora's entry into my life and into my family's lives as well. And she guided me through this process because it's quite, as I said, rocked my world. It turns things upside down. And so we began working together one-on-one through the discussion of soulmates, why they come into our lives, what do we hope to achieve, why are some of us teachers and others are learners, and then that led us into the discussion of soul path. What is it we're here to do, and who is in our lives to help us accomplish what we're here to do? So that's why I wrote the book, because one thing leads to another, and there's a rediscovery. And that's what I'd love the readers to come away with, a rediscovery of why things happen and why we're here. So that's who Alice DeVille is. And she still is consulting with me and is very excited about the book. She helped me navigate through that. And we still, in fact, she emailed me this morning. So she's very much a part of the discussion.
That is tremendous. It's great to have her aboard, too, I'm sure. For folks who didn't hear the previous broadcast, because a lot of times we have a wealth of new listeners who are tuned in our audience on every broadcast every day, could you tell us a little bit about, if we step back a little bit, about something called a soul path? What's a soul path, Loretta? How do you define that?
Well, I define it as the path the soul chooses to take when they enter into this world, what they bring with them from previous experiences, and it leaves an imprint on the soul. And those lessons learned can be applied or ignored, but the soul path is the route that the soul chooses to take. And a lot of times there's we say to ourselves, why am I here? Why am I supposed to do this? Well, there's a reason for it, and the soul codes, as we call them, these are the paths that we want to fulfill in this lifetime. And that's what I see for me. That's how I interpret it, thanks to some research that I've done and a lot of discussions. And so that's the answer. Why are we here? We struggle with this. What am I supposed to do? So that's why that's how I look at a soul path.
Now, you mentioned people searching for purpose. People are searching. There's an undercurrent, I feel, of people that are, you know, because the world right now seems to be disheveled for many and just seems to be spinning out of control, and every day there's such negative news and just so many things going on, and technology with all of its wonderful advancements and all of the incredible things that have come out of it is also some, in certain ways, pulling apart the human connection in various aspects. Do you find that people are coming to you in search of, who am I, what am I about, why am I here, what is my life's mission, my calling, you know, what's going on with all the chaos around me? Do you find a lot of that happening for you?
Yes, a lot of that came about as a result of just having casual conversations with friends and family. We're losing the person-to-person connections, relationships, the human relationships. And we have to have those relationships. We have to learn from those relationships. And so recognizing that that's the most important thing, it's a foundation. And so I've redirected my thinking as a result of writing the book and learning more about myself in terms of where are we going, and who are we going to go with? Who do we want with us? So it's a bit of a metaphysical conversation, Jim, as well, and the sense that there are those that we want in our circle, and there are certainly those that we don't want. I call them people that are toxic, and pushing them aside. Don't allow them to bring you down. So many times I have said to myself, what am I doing wrong? I'm not doing anything wrong. In many cases, it's the other person. And you learn to discern who you can trust and who you value to bring in into your life, and befriend that person and stay with that person or not.
True, right, exactly. You have to sort of come to that determination, and sometimes it's not easy to get to that determination. It takes time, and it takes fortitude, and getting back to Zurich, I'm very fascinated about Zurich. How did Zurich feel about all of this, and was he experiencing the same thing that you were, and what does Zurich think of the book itself? What's been the feedback from Zura? And do you stay in touch with Zura regularly?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're in close communication. We see each other frequently, communicate by text or a quick phone call. I recognized him immediately. He did not recognize me. He knew there was a certain connection, but he was not... He was not as strongly connected, didn't sense that connection. And keep in mind that when you're talking about soulmates, one soul certainly takes on the position of a deeper recognition, whereas the other soulmate, the veil takes a little bit longer to lift. And so that's the way it was with Zora. He needed time to figure this out, because keep in mind, he's new to this country, and I did not have strong knowledge of his background. I just knew that he was this angel that came into our family and helped us, and so it took him far longer to recognize the relationship, and I helped him through understanding the relationship. That I had to rely on Alice, and I'll bring her up again, because she helped me through this process, through each and every phase of the process. And so I brought him along as a teacher would a student, and so he was able to come to grips with this relationship and accepted it. And when I interviewed him for the book to learn a little bit more about his background, to see where there were other connections that I discovered through a soul path analysis that was done for me, it became more clear to the both of us that we had shared interests that went back a ways, and that it was too precious of a gift to walk away from, that we both wanted it, and we wanted to make it work. To develop it, and that's how we left it. And he would say to me, "Why is this happening? I don't understand this." And I would answer in the same way, Jim. And that answer was, "Look, this is God's will. Let's just see what God has a plan for us. What does He have in store for us?" And that was part of the reason why it took me some time to let the book settle out in the marketplace and understand the purpose of the book. And that's why we're talking today, because I've made the decision that I want others to understand what I went through. And maybe they've gone through it, or they haven't gone through it and they wonder why. So that's the essence of the relationship that evolved since 2009.
That is incredible. And since 2009, and it's still going strong, that is amazing. Where is Zura originally from?
He was born in the capital city of Tbilisi, the Republic of Georgia. Lived there all his life. He was a traditional Georgian folk dancer, traveled through Europe, and... Graduated with a degree in engineering, because that's what they have there, a lot of hydro engineering. So that's a little bit about his background. Grew up in post-Soviet Union times, when the Soviet Union collapsed in the 91-92 time frame. So there were many hardships in the country, as there were with other post-Soviet countries. So his perspective on freedom and opportunity is is, well, it's heartwarming to see see him take advantage.
It really seems like one of the many things about the book, again, Loretta, is really about living life where more than what we're aware of is really possible, to really be, to absolutely be open to the possibilities. I mean, even just the conversation about the priest being on board, because a lot of people think priests might be possibly rigid in their beliefs, you know, traditional, structured, conservative, but they're open to mystery, they're curious about it. So if you have reverence for God, you must have reverence for the idea that he's capable of things beyond our understanding, right?
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, Jim, God would not put us on this earth without help, without people to guide us through this experience. He is all-knowing, all-aware, and so it's up to us as free thinkers and humans that have free will to accept it, to develop further, to increase our knowledge and our understanding of our surroundings. That's our choice. God opens the door. It's up to us, but it's also up to us to make those final decisions of whether we're going to walk through the door and evolve and advance our thinking towards others. That's what this experience has brought to me. Are we cynical? Yes, we're cynical. I'm cynical over many things, about many things. But that cynicism I don't allow the cynicism to take to be all encompassing. I want to understand and delve into an issue. On the other hand, I don't want to be a cynic. I just want to look at the positive rather than the negative all the time.
Exactly, because, I mean, if you want the negative, all you have to do is just look around and turn on the news, because we're experiencing it all the time. You also work for a terrific, terrific organization that people might not be aware of. You're the director of the AUI program at the World Institute on Disability, right? Tell us a little bit about that incredible work that you do, Loretta.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. This is a nonprofit organization that I've worked with for the last 6 years. I did this work when I was in government, when I worked for President Bush 43, and I transitioned out of government when he left the White House. I did too. And so I had the opportunity to join WID in a project called Add Us In, and it means exactly what it says, Add Us In, people with disabilities to become fully engaged in society, in employment, and independent living. And one of the exciting things about the work that I do, Jim, is I am the liaison for the office in Berkeley, California, here in the Washington, D.C. area where I'm talking to you from. And I am the go-to person to develop international relationships and projects for my organization. And that's a thrilling thing to do, to sit down with countries who, quite frankly, are struggling. They're, in many cases, failed societies, but yet they know that they need to do far more for the population that are marginalized, and that includes people with disabilities. So I get to talk to embassy staff. I get to talk with heads of state in some cases when they are in Washington, D.C. And here's the interesting part. There are no coincidences in this life, Jim, because little did I know that when I met Zora in 2009, that I would be working for WID, who had a 5-year project in the country of Georgia. I had no idea. Mm. So when I took my trip to Georgia in 2010, I visited the project, the WID project, which is a wheelchair project, building and wheelchairs, selling wheelchairs, training people how to use wheelchairs. I had no idea I would find myself in the capital city involved in that capacity with this country.
Wow. That's very amazing. Yeah. Gee. You've had quite an experience and a rich life with all the experiences that you certainly have. I mean, so what was your initial reaction when they said you would be working with the World Institute on Disability? What was your initial reaction? Were you enthused, excited, surprised, shocked, everything?
Yeah, everything, just everything. Now, I wasn't directly involved in that project in Georgia. I was on another project, which I gladly accepted. And that evolved into what I'm doing today, into the portfolio that I'm responsible for today. I honestly never thought, Jim, that I would continue in this field when I left government, because my background was anything but this work. But I also felt a call to serve, as I did in government, call it self-service over self. And the calling continues to this day. And so I'm still there, and I'm still hoping to make a difference internationally. And, in fact, we have a very, very strong possibility of a partnership with the country of Uzbekistan, again, another former Soviet Union country. So it's exciting. I'm loving it. I work with great colleagues. Most of my colleagues have been in the field far longer than I have been, and they've taught me a lot, and many of my colleagues do have a disability themselves and are very successful in the world of work. A lot of fun.
Tremendous. Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, you must be on the road a lot, going here, there, and everywhere, huh?
Well, I am on the road quite a bit, and right now, I don't have too much out of town travel ahead of me, so this is a great time for us to talk while I'm in the D.C. area, but I expect travel will be picking up in the near term, so. Who knows? Who knows what door will open?
Absolutely. Now, the book itself, Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, which for everybody listening, you can find on Amazon. That's a great place to find out where the book is available there for you. We've got about maybe 2.5 minutes left. What is your hope that people get from that amazing book, Loretta?
What I hope people do after they put the book down, it takes about 3.5 hours in one sitting, maybe a little bit more, is I want them to understand that when someone enters your life, there's a reason behind it. And it gives that, hopefully that person takes away from it the opportunity to open up their thinking. Maybe it will validate some of their own personal experiences. Maybe it will renew their faith in humankind to trust someone and to keep an open mind and heart that they have this opportunity, based on my own experience, to take from it what they want and to use it to perhaps advance their own approach to personal relationships or their family, because families are difficult. And I struggled with my family throughout this process of taking care of my father. And so
sure.
That's what I hope people will have or get when
that
they finish reading it.
Well, that is a beautiful thing to hope for. And we wish you, of course, continued success in everything that you do, Loretta. It's a joy and an honor to have you on our show. I know we're going to meet personally as we do a TV video interview coming up soon, so looking forward to that. But for all of us here, thank you so very much for joining us on the show today. Again, a real privilege to have you with us.
You're quite welcome. Enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Loretta. Our very special guest, author Loretta M. Harrington. Again, the book is Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, which is available on Amazon.com. For all of us here, I'm Jim Masters, CUTV News Radio. Thank you for joining us as well. We wish you a stellar day. Bye for now.